Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Place to go, darling. Have no place to go. Have no place to go.
6:10. Good morning. Hi. Welcome. And it is a beautiful summer day in Chicago. Man, if you like sweating, today is your day. I don't think I've sweated as much, well, in my history, as I did yesterday afternoon when you and I, Dave, were on the golf course.
Are you guys crazy?
It was the humidity yesterday, and I'm not exaggerating, was 514%.
Yeah, it was.
How many holes did you play?
All 18.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
By the way, I birdied the first hole, Dave.
Yes.
Didn't play a good hole after that. It was a bad day. Anyway, fun on a golf course, and thanks to everybody at the Evans Scholar Foundation, the Western Golf Association, BMW, and, of course, the Medina Golf Course.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad it was for a good cause.
And well, it looks, I'll tell you what, the club looks great, course looks great for the BMW Championship next month.
And coming up, kids, get your tickets.
That is a hard golf course. Oh. I mean, it just beats you down.
Yeah, it kicked my butt three different ways.
How many Gatorades did you have?
And that's not an exaggeration. I actually kept track.
Really?
9 mini water bottles.
Yes.
3 Gatorades.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good job for keeping those electrolytes.
And by the way, too much information, but we're all friends here. Peed once.
I was just going to say, that was my next question. Well, then you were dehydrated.
Dave?
Well, I had 2 Gatorades, and I was alternating them with the mini bottles of water.
Like Dr. Most tells us?
So, like he tells us, and one time, too.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Congratulations.
How do you guys feel today?
I feel fine, but I got
it.
I woke up with a summer cold.
Oh, no, those are the worst.
Yeah, and you know, and I don't like to talk about what I'm not feeling. Well, you guys know that.
Yeah, you never bring it up.
The last time you were sick, it lasted, what, 3 months?
Well, you really have not really gotten well because you've been hacking for the last, what, 6 months?
That's something different entirely.
Maybe
that's
you're
just aging.
Allergic to the golf course.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah.
You know, running a slight fever, so I'm definitely contagious. So my goal is to have you all sick by 10 o'clock
Thank
tonight.
Thank you for coming in sick.
Fever?
Here's the problem. You cannot call in sick when you go to work at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning.
No, you can't. You can't.
I mean, the management here, they're drunks. You can't get a hold of them at that hour.
We can handle it.
Yeah, but you could just call a fill-in for, like, I bet
Pete
would have taken your call.
I thought about calling Pete.
He would have been here.
And we would have covered for you, Steve, if you were sick. You shouldn't come in if you're sick, especially since I sit in the same studio with you.
Yeah. You're the first to go.
Yeah.
Hey, well, here's a good small world story. My brother Mickey, or as I like to call him, your favorite Cochran brother.
Yes, he is.
He calls me every morning on the way in from the Starbucks in Ithaca, New York, where he goes every morning to have his coffee. And he goes, this morning he's on the phone with me, and he's not good with names. By the way, neither am I, Dan. He said to me, there's a guy here who knows the Chicago White Sox player. Do you know who it is? And I said, Mick, well, I'm going to need a name.
more information.
Yeah. So he has this habit, because Mickey wants everyone to be friends. And it's a charming habit, but it can be a little awkward. He will put me on the phone with anybody. He'll go, you talk to him. I've never met the person, and I feel like I'm interrupting them. Interrupting me. he puts me on the phone with this very nice guy. And he said, yeah, hi, Steve. Your brother said a lot about you, and we're really excited. Our nephew, Dylan Cease, is making his major league debut tomorrow night, and we're flying into Chicago.
Really? So that's Dylan's uncle?
Dylan's uncle sitting at a Starbucks in Ithaca, New York with Mickey.
What are the chances of that?
How about
did
that?
Did you meet him? Did he just start talking to
Mickey
him?
Mickey talks to everybody.
Everybody.
Awesome.
Well, that's, I mean, this is a big deal. I mean, Dylan Cease is, aside from Michael Kopech, he is the second-ranked pitching prospect in the White Sox organization, one of the top in baseball.
And, apparently, relatives flying from all over the country. I mean, it was very,
sure.
It was very nice to hear the uncle, how proud he is of him and how excited the whole family is.
That's great.
So, once again, Mickey connecting the world.
I can hear the conversation.
Yeah, right. Another sports note, which Dave, I know you covered, but for those of you just waking up, Robin Leonard, goalie for the New York Islanders. I think he was number 3 in the league last year.
He was a finalist for the Vezina Trophy at 120 some odd games.
He has been picked up by the Chicago Blackhawks in a 1-year deal for about $5 million. And everybody went, wait, this guy's a top flight A-line starting goalie.
Yes, he is.
So what does that mean for the kid, Colin Delia? What does that mean for Corey Crawford? And I think these are questions that will be answered in camp. But right now, Corey Crawford and Robin Leonard mean the Blackhawks have the best 1-2 goalies, because they're 1-1 goalies, in the league by far.
Yeah, I mean, it's remarkable. That you're able to get a guy of that caliber. Now, he agreed to a 1-year deal. And when you listen to him talk, Steve, I listened to his teleconference, he was asked, aren't you kind of taking a risk here signing a 1-year deal? He said, well, it's not a risk if you have confidence in yourself,
right,
in your ability to play. And I'm sure he figures either he's going to end up with a long-term deal in Chicago or a long-term deal someplace else after next season.
Well, he could have gotten a multi-year deal somewhere else for probably similar money.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted to play here.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. And my sources, you know, Dave, me and my sources.
Oh, I know you and your sources.
Mickey is my source. Mickey tells me that for everybody that goes, well, this must mean Crawford's done. No. This means the Blackhawks have 2 number one goalies. And you may remember the last 2 seasons when Corey Crawford was hurt. And he's had plenty of concussions, that it's been a major, major problem for the Blackhawks. So now you've got 2 starting goalies.
And what's the best motivation of all? It's competition,
yeah,
right? Competition and contracts.
Yeah.
And so they've got that working for them. And you know who told me that? That was Robin Leonard's uncle said that to
Mickey. Did he? At a Starbucks?
Yes, at a Starbucks.
Has there been, I don't know this, as much of a hockey nut as I am, I don't know this, has there ever been a situation where you've had 2 number one goalies platoon?
I'm sure it's happened. I'm sure it's happened. But I don't know if you've had 2 of,
you know, they each get 41 games.
I don't think you see that, because I think coaches like to stay with the hot guy.
Right. And it's like a pinch hitter in baseball. How do you have rhythm when you're not in the game?
Right.
It's just an interesting, you know, it's one of those good problems to have.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a great problem.
Looking forward to meeting him, but that's good news. All right, we're going to do the top 6 here in a few minutes. Stand by for that. Steve, what do you have coming up at 6:30?
Steve, we're going to have a developing story this morning. 7 people have been arrested after vandalism in Millennium Park, including tagging the bean with graffiti and also the cancer survivor wall in Maggie Daly Park.
Come on.
7 people have been arrested. Some pretty bad vandalism overnight. So we'll
I heard they actually wrote the name of their gang on the bean.
That's obvious.
Yeah. Genius criminals.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a vandalism all through Millennium Park, and we'll see what the charges are going to be. But 7 people are in custody for this, and we'll have more on this at 6:30 from the WGN newsroom.
Texters, Dave, Plant and Hall in St. Louis platooned. That'd be Jacques Plant.
Mm-hmm.
What about Esposito and Bannerman? Murray Bannerman and Tony? Did they ever platoon?
I don't remember. I mean, they both played, but I mean, what you're suggesting is basically splitting it 50-50.
My turn, your turn, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, that's a rare thing, because I just think it's hard. You want some continuity. You want some consistency. I mean, I'm sure it's happened. It's usually, if you're playing 2 guys, that means you don't really have a starting goaltender, right? I mean, it's
well, I think normally, sure, but in this case, you want both guys to get plenty of action.
No, but I'm saying in a pure platoon system, it's because you can't pick one over the other. Not necessarily because they're too good.
Hmm. Well, we'll see what happens.
But in this case, I think, you know, you do have that situation where they can both play and, you know, do well.
217, summer cold, me too. I blame it on the air conditioning. Yeah.
You know, that's very interesting.
Yeah, because I don't remember being around anyone who is sick.
Yeah.
I just want to warn you, listeners, don't even try to change the station. Touch your radio, I'm contagious. You have been warned. Top six time.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top 666, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Item number one, I have a cold. That's our top story.
Wow.
We know.
Mm-hmm. You know, the disgust in your voice when you said, oh, your last cold lasted like 3 months.
My son just got conjunctivitis, the pink eye. He hasn't had that since he was a little kid.
Yeah, he's a grown-up.
Yeah, it's weird. He thinks he got it from the air conditioning, too, at a hotel.
Well, it's always air conditioning on everything.
Right, just blame it, yeah.
Tennis world, say hi to Corey Goff. This kid is so modest. First off, she's 15 years old and she beat Venus Williams yesterday. Venus Williams had won 3 majors by the time this kid was born. Maybe 4. And had won a couple of Wimbledons. Yesterday, the 15-year-old beat Venus Williams. Her childhood idol, by the way, even though she's still a child. And apparently she had a test she took at school, and she took one test. She had to get out of another, and she had to have her parents write her a note that she had a big tennis match she had to go to, and they didn't even know she played tennis.
Don't you hate when tests get in the way of Wimbledon?
Crazy. Anyway, she seems like a sweet kid, and it's a nice story. 6-4, 6-4, straight set wins as Wimbledon gets underway, still in the first round. Next. Facebook has launched a civil rights task force to combat misinformation. They've launched this task force whose job it is to prevent the spread of misinformation on Facebook, in particular about the upcoming census and 2020 elections. In a blog post, Sheryl Sandberg, the COO, says the social media giant plans to treat next year's census like an election. With people, policies, and technology in place to protect against census interference. We know for a fact that Facebook has a team of people whose job it is to sit and read filtered Facebook posts that are the most offensive according to the algorithm that Facebook runs on. And that the turnover in this job is remarkably high, because who wants to sit and read the deepest perversions and darkest corners of people's minds that have been lifted from Facebook? The reason the algorithm doesn't pick up fake election pimping is because those posts are written to look real, as opposed to someone who is very dark and potentially dangerous. So they haven't figured that part out yet, but they want you to know they're working on it. Next. There's a salmonella outbreak that's been linked to fresh papayas from Mexico. According to the CDC, so far 62 cases across 8 states. Not including Illinois. Is this a big papaya state? You like papaya?
I'm not a big papaya guy. I don't really care for it.
Tastes like chicken, right?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember the last time I had a papaya.
I don't even know what a papaya tastes like, really.
It's got to be like a melon, right? Papaya? Melonish? Melonish?
They're kind of big, yeah.
I don't know.
Not many people eat them, I don't think.
Next! Officers and officials are working on implementing a new rule that's going to require Chicago police officers to report every time they point a gun at a person. Under the new policy, part of the consent decree meant to reform the CPD, officers have to radio the city's Office of Emergency Management Communications to report any gun-pointing incidents. According to a statement from CPD spokesman Luis R. Agostino, the rule was initially scheduled to take effect on Monday, but it's been delayed due to ensure alignment and proper implementation of the same. Next, you might need an umbrella if you're going to take in a fireworks show for the 4th. On Thursday, Americans will celebrate Independence Day. It's supposed to be rainy, hot, and humid, and there could be more rain coming over the weekend, according to AccuWeather. AccuWeather is only a fill-in if we can't get a hold of Channel 9's weather, folks. Steve, have you looked at the extended forecast for the 4th?
I have, actually, and the forecast for the 4th, partly to mostly cloudy, according to Skilling's team, with just a chance of scattered thunderstorms. High near 90 on Thursday. Another just slight chance of thunderstorms on Friday. High near 91. So just scattered. I don't think it's going to be a washout. It's just going to be these scattered thunderstorms.
So it's okay if you're riding in a parade?
Yeah, I would think so.
Good. In a convertible?
Absolutely. You'll probably need sunscreen.
And it's a good time to bring those barbecues indoors. Just roll them right in the house.
Really?
Yep.
You grill inside?
Well, on a rough day, why not?
Make sure you vent that sucker.
Dave, you better have your umbrella on that convertible when you're master of ceremonies and Skokie.
He's parade queen.
No, I'm Grand Marshal.
Grand Marshal, sorry.
And finally, people with different political affiliations have varying TV viewing habits. A recent survey by the Norman Lear Center and the University of Southern California found there are 5 shows that liberals, conservatives, and independents like to watch equally. Those shows are America's Funniest Home Videos. Oh, God.
It's the worst.
Bones, Criminal Minds, Mythbusters, and Pawn Stars.
What? It's the strangest combination.
Even though Pawn Stars ranked as one of the least liked shows, people like to hate watch it. Pawn Stars, Mythbusters, Criminal Minds, Bones, and America's Funniest Home Videos. So basically, these are all shows where people are down on their luck. So you got people pawning stuff. You got people, who are believing things they shouldn't believe. You got a serial killer show. You got a post-murder show. And then if you watch enough America's Funniest Home Videos, you want to end it all to begin.
Yeah, you have people having their kids do dumb things so they can send in a video.
Yeah. Yeah, seeing kids cry or seeing kids.
Them cry.
Or
people getting hit in the you know what.
Yeah.
That happens all the time.
The hoo ha. You don't want to get hit in the hoo ha.
They do have some good singing dogs, though.
Oh, it's when they bring in the dogs and the cats. I go,
well, then spin off a show called The Singing Dogs.
I saw one on there playing the piano one time.
And Alfonso Ribeiro, could you amp it up a little bit? He's a nice guy, but he is a lot of work. I've played golf with him a couple of times, and he's a good golfer.
High maintenance?
Oh, like you wouldn't believe. We'll come back in a moment with your headlines, but first this on 720 WGN.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on a trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not. On a team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better about their smile.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
You know the biggest problem with having a summer cold today? I was supposed to hang out with Abigail Grace all afternoon today.
You can't do that.
Summertime Monday afternoons moved to Tuesday afternoons. Lauren is 8 months pregnant. I can't go anywhere near them.
No. You could be in a bubble.
I have to go in full quarantine.
Yeah.
Wear a mask.
Thank goodness we got a kid of the week on. He'll cheer me up. Hey, Braden, how are you?
Hey, how's it going?
I have a summer cold, Braden. Do you feel sorry for me?
Good answer, Braden.
Somehow, Braden, I'm not buying it. Braden, is it Karinoff Huber?
Yes.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
And let's tell people why you have been chosen Kid of the Week. You've shown a love for your community. You've done aluminum recycling efforts in local schools. Each year you bring volunteers along with all the aluminum they collected to a Pop Tab Pandemonium Day. What's that like?
So my parents, my grandparents own a daycare a little bit away, and during that time, it's like the third Saturday or Sunday of September, and when we do it, the event is held at the daycare.
Okay.
And people come, and there's like this giant truck full of like giant cardboard boxes, and the people bring the they drop off their pop tabs. We like, if they're in a milk container, we cut the top off and dump them. If they're in a bag, we just dump them. However and whenever, we dump them.
So there's a lot of dumping going on.
We've been trying to beat the world record for like a couple of years now.
Okay.
And we've gotten very close.
Well.
And actually, I didn't even start this. My brother did.
Okay.
And I really respect him for that.
Well, that's nice to hear, too. Proceeds go to Ronald McDonald House Charities. How much has you guys raised in the past 3 years?
I actually do not know.
Want me to tell you? Because I know the number.
How much?
Over $10,000. That's a lot of money, dude.
I know.
That's good for you. That's a cool number.
Anything to help out Ronald McDonald.
Braden also placed and maintains a little free library in Manuka. Built a little library with the driving help of mom. Make sure the books are in good shape. Adds new ones when necessary. And in addition to your personal efforts, part of the 4-H Club. A lot of community service as well. You're a busy guy.
Believe me. I just got back from Chiva, California. And let me tell you, it was busy.
Well, you don't have time to take care of me and my head cold. You got too much going on at 14. Right?
I know.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
And what are you doing for fun all summer?
I don't know, doing stuff like...
Isn't that the perfect teenage boy answer, Mary?
Yep, stuff.
What are you doing? Stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff. Whatever my mom wants us to do.
Yeah, well, that's the right thing to do.
That's a good answer.
You're a good kid. Hey, man, I appreciate you being on. You're the kid of the week.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, hold on for me. Keep up the good work.
It's a busy guy. Nice of him to squeeze you in.
And get up this early.
How about it, right?
Should be sleeping in.
Got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Braden's Kid of the Week. And Super Joe, what's Braden win for being Kid of the Week? What do we give him?
We're going to give Braden a gift card to Lou Malnati's.
Okay, that's good.
And then another gift card to Apt, the electronics store.
Well, there you go. A small thank you for all the good that Braden does in this world.
The Steve Cochran Show.
I have exciting news from Mary Vanderbilt this morning.
Really?
I like that new bump, by the way, Joe. Well done by you. Oh, I'm sorry, I got distracted. You know me, something shiny. Amazon is selling a $1,200 garden igloo that you can nap in.
Yes.
There's different versions of this, and it does, in fact, look like an igloo. A number of retailers like Amazon and Walmart are selling a variety of clear domes that you can put in your backyard, and they're 12 feet in diameter, generally speaking, 12 by 12 by 12 by 12 by 12. Would that be diameter? Circumference of 12 feet? Would be a circumference of 12 feet? Diameter 12 feet?
I would say circumference or something.
Well, if it's an igloo, it's round. Would think it's diameter.
Yeah, it's a diameter.
Yeah.
Is it see-through?
Yeah.
Well, I can't sleep in that. I need shades.
Well, but you could put a little umbrella in there too.
What?
And be protected from the bugs.
Bugs are going to be like worms if I'm in a garden. This could be.
Well, no, it's just called a garden igloo. You could put it anywhere you want. There's also a $1,300 inflatable bubble tent from a company that claims it's just an unforgettable experience for your family. All of this, of course, is an effort, Dave, to do what? To get Mary out of her car where she naps.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Right.
Does it have air conditioning?
Yes.
What?
People called the 12-foot garden igloo the hottest backyard accessory on Amazon. Country Living. Joe, is my subscription to Country Living up to date? Country Living raved.
No, it's not.
Forget about the tiny guest house. There's a new backyard must-have in town, and the real estate site Curb said it was perfect for glamping or growing. Glamping is glamorous, yes. Camping.
Yeah, but it, but see, it looks like a greenhouse.
So it's kind of like a gazebo.
It's a human greenhouse.
Greenhouse.
Yeah, I mean, so you combo. Would just melt in there, Mary, if you're taking a nap.
Yeah.
Well, but you would have that. You would have a cooling unit.
Is it vented at all? I guess there's no electricity. I can't have a fan.
Well, yeah, no, of course you can run electricity into it. Sure, you can.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can bring my travel MyPillow in there.
Yes, you can.
Yes.
There's no question about it. But they say it's with a small amount of maintenance, like clearing off accumulated snow, you can use it year-round. So you can put a little heater in there in the wintertime.
Oh, that'd be fun.
They'd still find me.
Let's see. They are a little pricey, $1,200. One person said, well, mine was wrinkled, not like the smooth picture it was shown. Well, then iron it.
Yeah, right.
Iron your igloo.
Well, it might melt if you did that.
So anyway, that's my idea to get you out of the car.
This is good.
A yard igloo. Okay.
Yeah, because it's kind of hot sleeping in the car, you know.
Yeah.
During the summer, I can't really do it.
And you have to run the car, don't you?
Yeah, I have to.
Yeah, you don't need that.
Not like today, I can't take a nap in the car. It's don't way too that. Hot.
Don't need that.
Gotta you know, and make it to my couch.
It is perfectly legal, too, by the way, to the public. If you see Mary sleeping in a hot car, you are allowed to break the window and rescue her.
Right.
Even in my driveway?
Yeah, yep. Even in your driveway. Yep.
Yep.
It's my private property. I don't need to be rescued.
Well, you should be warned twice. Hey, lady. Hey, lady. And then break your window.
Yeah, right in my face.
And if you don't respond after the second, hey, lady, there's a problem.
Yeah. That's why we're just trying to save you. In other news, Donald Trump is demanding tanks for, of course he is, he's demanding tanks for his 4th of July extravaganza, and he's been told by the Pentagon and the District of Columbia, you can't have tanks on the streets, they're too heavy, and they'll ruin the streets. So the tanks are somehow going to be maneuvered in a way, I don't know if there's two tanks, three tanks, four tanks more, remember that children's rhyme, you know, somewhere along the mall.
Yes.
He also said there was going to be a new Sherman tank, which hasn't really been manufactured since World War II.
And we're showing it off?
There's no Sherman tank. The Sherman tanks have not been in production since World War II.
It's quite amusing, isn't it? There is a listener tipped me to this. There is a new Trump website, a media accountability survey that's up. Now, listen, both parties do this. And candidates do this, where you basically do a survey or a poll on your own website, and then you release the results like it's a mass survey. This is all about the media. Question number one, and this is from Trump's website. Do you believe that the mainstream media actually cares about working Americans? Your choices are yes, no, or no opinion. Do you believe the mainstream media has unfairly reported on our presidency? Yes, no, no opinion. Do you trust MSNBC to fairly report on our presidency? This reminds me of when I was a disc jockey and you'd have consultants come in and they'd be focus groups. And then you'd sit down with management and management would go, well, they don't want you to talk as much as you do. They want you to play more records. And I said, based on what? Because, you know, the numbers are good. We're making money. And they said, well, we did a study. And I said, well, can I see the questions in the study? And the questions in the study would be this for a focus group. Would you rather hear your favorite song or a disc jockey talking? These are the type of questions that are on this Trump thing. Do you trust CNN to fairly report? Do you trust Fox News to fairly report? On which issues does the mainstream media do the worst job of representing Republicans? It's a very positive survey. Which television source do you primarily get your news from? Fox News listed first, by the way. If you use a source not listed right here, do you trust the mainstream media to tell you the truth about the Republican Party's positions and actions? Do you believe the mainstream media does not do their due diligence fact-checking? It's just on and on and on. So here's what's going to happen. This will be released once they get the results as a mass poll. And this is why you need to read the entire articles, not just the headlines of the first paragraph. Because when where the poll came from is listed somewhere in the article, then you'll know it's a Trump poll. Because it's basically going to say this: Fox News is the greatest, CNN and MSNBC suck, and you can't believe anything that anybody says if it's not on Fox. That's essentially what you're going to get out of this. Having said that, CNN and MSNBC need to stop spending 22 hours a day on the 2020 election. There's a lot of news to report, and 2020 doesn't mean diddly right now.
Yeah, amen.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep, yeah.
I mean, I watch Fox, I watch CNN, I watch MSNBC. And if you go to CNN or MSNBC right now, it is wall-to-wall 2020.
You would think that the election was this November.
Yeah, stop it already.
One of those, yeah.
Stop it. 6:58, coming up after 7 o'clock. We've got a great MVPP. I got a couple things to get you guys on the phone over, if you like. We got Dean on after 8. Yeah, it's Dean Richards, of course. And Dean does a segment on the show called More on Entertainment because he gives you more on entertainment, and he and I are morons. Alderman O'Shea after 8:30. He's got his Help a Hero for Veterans event coming up, so we want to help him publicize that. Got some City Colleges folks coming in today. We always like to highlight the good things that are going on there. And then Senator Durbin after 9:30 today. One of the things he's going to be talking about is the MLB netting issue that they're pushing to make mandatory. The White Sox, of course, have stepped up and said they're in.
They were the first team to do that. Still, you wonder why it has to be made mandatory, why teams don't act as the White Sox did and go ahead and do it. I think Washington's also made a move in that direction.
And the Dodgers, too, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe not the Dodgers yet.
I don't know about the Dodgers, but I know the Nationals and the White Sox. You shouldn't need to be prodded.
Yes. Right. And for everybody that goes, oh, it ruins the experience watching the game. I have sat, and I'm lucky, I've sat in nice seats behind home plate many, 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 many times. After about 30 seconds, you get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even notice it.
I remember, Steve, when cars didn't have seatbelts, and people said, they're too confining, they're too constraining, we don't want seatbelts.
Right.
Now you don't even think about it.
Yeah, you have to, and people rode constantly without helmets on bicycles and things, right? Yeah.
Well, some people still do.
Yeah.
People played hockey without helmets.
Right. Well, Dave, you remember when fire was invented, so come on.
Yes, that's true.
It's 7 o'clock. Let's get to the news, and Steve is standing by with that. Talking baseball. My friend Paul Coit, live from London. You're a baseball guru now.
It's funny to say that because I am actually now a baseball guru. I realize it only takes about 3 days to become a fully fledged expert in this sport.
So let's do a little quiz here and see how much you learned. Not specific to players, but about the game itself. For instance, let me start. Paul, what is a rosin bag?
We're talking about Klaus Rosenberg. He came over from Berlin and played in the minor leagues back in the late 40s.
Oh, I got one.
Go ahead, Mary.
What is a southpaw?
A southpaw is a left-hander.
Ah, very nice. Yes.
It's a left-hander.
What's a suicide squeeze?
Oh, what's a suicide squeeze, Paul?
Oh, suicide squeeze. I think I've been out with a few of those, you know. I've got to tell you.
That's my my friend, Paul Coit, our friend, Paul Coit, London Bureau Chief, after a weekend of baseball in Europe. Next year, Cubs are there?
Cubs and Cardinals play there next year.
Boy, sad story this morning about a kid from the Angels who didn't respond to calls from the traveling secretary. They went and checked in the room, and the starting pitcher for the Angels, a kid named Tyler Skaggs, is dead at 27?
27 years old.
What do they know this morning?
Not much more, really, Steve. They're not saying much. The police in Southlake, Texas, are saying that they do not think it was foul play. They do not think it was suicide. Beyond that, we just don't know. Apparently, there was nothing to believe that there was anything wrong with him physically. At least that's come out publicly, and I'm sure we're going to find out more later today. The Angels officials are going to have a news conference, I think, this afternoon. They postponed the game last night. There hasn't been any word on whether they'll play the scheduled game this evening. But a young guy whose mother actually was very active. I think she was a high school coach. Not a baseball coach, but maybe coached some sport, maybe volleyball.
Okay.
I was reading about her, but very visible influence in his life. And
recently married, right?
Got married last off season. No kids.
Any congenital heart issues in the family?
Not that anyone has known about or talked about.
I mean, you don't die at 27 without a reason, obviously.
No, and you know, we were talking about the Daryl Kyle thing, which happened in Chicago. many years ago now.
Cardinals pitcher, and, if you guys don't remember.
And they determined that he did have a heart attack.
Okay.
But, again, a young guy. He pitched against the Cubs at Wrigley Field a couple of months ago. And, he's... It's just one of those things where, guys going to the ballpark, and they had a number of the players were already on the bus. The way these work is usually there'll be an early bus, goes over to the park like noon, 1 o'clock for a night game, and some guys will take taxis to the park early. They want to just go and hang out at the ballpark, get some extra work in, lift weights, whatever. And usually there's a bus around 3 o'clock. And so... that'll have the remaining staff members, other pitchers who want to go over to the park, other players.
And a traveling staff. Secretary and, isn't responsible for knowing who's...
Yeah, they want to know who's going where. Yeah. And at that point, I think it was the traveling secretary came on the bus and told those who were on the bus what had happened. And it's devastating. I mean...
Yeah, it's awful.
You know, it's just it's an awful story. And you just feel so bad. Apparently, great kid and really... Well thought of,
and nothing but upside.
Yeah, so
it's count your blessings is the overall message here. At 7:14, we continue. 4th of July coming up. However you celebrate, Wallet Hub. You know Wallet Hub? Wallet Hub, the website.
Yes.
Wallet Hub has decided to do us a favor and rank the top 10 cities in America to celebrate the 4th of July. Here's how they came up with their list. They took into account the price of beer and wine in each city's overall average. How good the area's general attractions and activities are, how safe and accessible the city is, how long the fireworks are supposed to last, and how good the weather's supposed to be. So, you want to go number one first or number 10 first?
Let's go number 10 first.
Yeah,
number 10, St. Louis. Now, and if any of you have celebrated the 4th in any of these cities, let me know.
Number hot there.
Number 9, oh my God, St. Louis. It's I've lived so all over there. The country. Oh. St. Louis is the hottest place on earth in the summertime.
It's the humidity. What is it?
It's unbelievable. I used to sweat in the shower. Number 9, San Francisco. Number 8, Chicago. 8?
Yeah, we should be higher than that.
8?
Come on.
Well, you know, we don't do... Well, they have fireworks at Navy Pier.
Yeah, but our 4th of July fireworks are lame. I've said it for years. The suburban fireworks, you know, I always use Bolingbrook as an example because they go crazy out there.
Awesome.
But the suburban fireworks beat the city's fireworks hands down.
You know where they do great fireworks? Arlington Park.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, without a doubt.
And Lyle, too. Lyle Ice, this guy does a great job of fireworks.
Oh, that's right. That's coming up, right?
Yep.
I can see those from my window sometimes. Villa Park.
Well, it's good that you occasionally look out your window there, Gladys Kravitz. Number 7, Atlanta, Georgia. Number 6, Dallas. Number 5, Las Vegas. What do you think Vegas would, just have a 4th of July blowout?
Yeah, except how can you tell there. It's the 4th of July
in
Vegas?
That's a good point.
Yeah, everything's still lit up.
Good point. Number 4, D.C.
I used to go to the fireworks in D.C. at the Washington Monument when I was a kid.
Yeah,
because it's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, and it's a celebration of America.
Yes.
Not a celebration of Donald Trump, though he missed that memo. Number 3 is San Diego. That surprised me. I don't think of San Diego as a place where you go to do anything other than go, wow, is the weather great here.
Yeah.
2, L.A. I don't get that for a New York minute. New York's number 1. L.A. is 80 towns strung together by highways. There's nothing in downtown Los Angeles. I don't care what L.A. does for the fireworks or the 4th of July. It can't match what goes on here.
Well, again, maybe it gets back to the, what was it, the price of beer and wine? What was the first factor?
Yeah, the cost of beer and wine.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the 25 most patriotic states in America is a separate list done by Wallet Hub. Would you like to know where we finish?
Well, where's that what's that based on?
Yeah, patriotic.
Wallet Hub says the idea of patriotism is complex. The data inspires greater questions concerning characteristics to form true national pride. But part of the math here is where the younger generations uphold the values of global citizenship, how much schools and local authorities focus on patriotism, community projects, flying of the flag, all of those things. So, your top 25 most patriotic states. Louisiana, Arkansas, Kentucky, Maryland, North Carolina, Florida, Alabama, Oregon, Washington, Arizona, Colorado, Virginia, Maine, Montana, and North Dakota. That's all the way up to number 10. Okay? Number 10 is Minnesota. Number 9 is Missouri. Number 8 is South Carolina. Number 7 is Alaska. Number 6 is Wisconsin. 5 is Idaho. 4 is Utah. Anybody missing yet?
Kind of us.
Number 3 is Vermont. Number 2 is Wyoming. And number 1 is New Hampshire. We didn't make the top 25.
Okay. It just seems so random. They're just like putting down states. Unless let's put New Hampshire number 1.
Well, here's the thing.
And it's so small.
California, New York, and Illinois are not on the list. I don't see Texas on here either. So they basically took... How can you see Texas as
I would
patriotic?
Have guessed Texas to be number
right?
one.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So that's Wallet Hub, if you'd like to send Wallet Hub a nasty note today. It's 7:19. The Steve Cochran Show continues, and Scott is on the phone. Let's go there at 312-981-7200. Hi, Scott.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. What's up?
I just wanted to let your listeners know that the Boy Scouts of Burr Ridge are running what we think is the first green pancake breakfast event in the state of Illinois.
So you're making green pancakes?
No, we're not making green pancakes, but we're going all green compostable. So,
well, how does that work? Explain what you're doing.
Well, we do a breakfast every year, and we do all kinds of stuff like fresh blueberry pancakes and fresh squeezed orange juice. But this year, we've partnered with a company called Worldcentric that's provided all compostable plates, cups, forks, knives, napkins, the whole nine yards. And then there's a company in the city called Healthy Soil Compost that is going to pick all this trash up and make sure that it gets recycled properly.
Well, that's great. And what a great lesson to send to the boys.
Well, the Boy Scouts, they leave no trace. So we figured we got to figure out how to do this the right way instead of generating mounds of trash from foam plates and paper cups that we're going to, you know, just fill up landfills with.
Yeah, we've been talking forever about what danger plastic is to the overall life of the planet. And a buddy of mine who is a genius is about to get into the recycling business as well. And he told me some amazing things I didn't know over the weekend. You know when you pick up a water bottle and it's crinkly? You know the type I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's real thin.
That is a recycled bottle. And the reason it's crinkly is it's been recycled, and it can't be recycled again because the plastic isn't of a high enough quality to recycle. So almost all water bottles, without exception, can be recycled once. That's it. So think about that. Those water bottles that come back as recycled, the crinkly bottles, they got to go somewhere. Well, they're not getting recycled, so they're going into the trash. So what
happens if you put them in a recycle bin?
They're sorted out.
Do they get sorted?
Yeah, they're sorted out. And the other thing we learned about recycling, of course, is don't throw a bag of stuff in your recycle bin because it automatically is considered trash because the people that pick that up don't have time to go through it. You know, go through
top to bottom. A lot of people do that, too.
Yeah, do not put a bag in. Everything in the recycle bin needs to be loose.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, one thing that healthy compost, they provided us compostable bags to put it all in as well.
Well, there you go. There you go. Yeah, so, you got a way to follow this or your website or social media to plug it? Or is there anything else you can throw at me here?
It's troop69.org. There's information on that website. It happens in Burr Ridge Thursday from 7:30 to 11:30. We're there every year. We've had over 800 people for the last 3 years, so we get a lot of repeat business because we offer so much more than just pancakes. It's a full breakfast. It's $8 at the door. Obviously, you know, coffee, tea, milk for the kids, that's all there.
And you're doing a good thing.
It's our fundraiser for our Boy Scout troop. It's our big annual event, and we just think it's kind of neat that we're doing it completely compostable. And, you know, Worldcentric donated all the product, and Healthy Compost is coming to pick up all the product when we're done. And we're kind of proud of this thing. It's something we've never done before. We don't think anybody else has done it.
Well done by you, Scott, and keep saving the world. And I don't mean that as a joke. I mean it literally. 312-981-7200 is the number here. And Scott, thank you for telling us about the story.
Hey, thank you for listening.
All right, appreciate you listening to the show. We'll come back with the most valuable person on the planet. Dave, I haven't had a chance to mention this, but and Steve and Mary and everybody. But I have a summer cold that I woke up with today.
We didn't know. How are you feeling? We had no idea.
Yeah,
is there anything I can get you? Or
would you like some tea?
No, but here's what, you know, because the responsibility of what's on this show, much to the chagrin of some of the listeners, it comes down to me. So between 7:30 and 8, it's up to the listeners. All right, I got nothing but love for you. You guys decide what's on the show because I'll take calls on anything.
They're taking over the show?
They're taking over the show. You get 7:30 to 8 today, prime time.
Oh, boy.
On the number one talk show in Chicago until Oprah comes back. 312-981-7200 is the number. Get prepared. Call in about anything. Anything.
I'm coming in to take your temperature.
312.
Oh, no. Turn off the cameras.
This is bad.
312, or turn them up. 312-981-7200. That's the number. I'll take your calls about anything. Anything.
Anything?
Anything between 7:30 and 8, because I don't feel good.
Dave, I think we need to step outside.
No, I'm going to call in.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dave, you're already on the show.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Call to be in.
That's right.
I'll come back with your most valuable person on the planet in just a second.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by Mega Pros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
Who's up for a medical miracle? Anyone? Raise your hand if you're up for a medical miracle.
Yep. All right.
How about a 10-person kidney exchange with donors and recipients meeting for the first time yesterday, all performed at Northwestern Memorial Hospital's nationally recognized kidney transplantation department. Joining us on the phone are Hannah and Josh Goralski to explain a little more. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having us.
Well, thanks for coming on. I can't imagine how emotional yesterday must have been for you guys.
It was crazy. So my brother Josh donated his kidney to our dad about 8 years ago. So he started this whole thing. And after our dad passed, my sister and I thought, no need in holding on to our kidneys. Let's see what we can do. Nowhere along the line did we think it would spark this huge change.
Well, this is an amazing thing, Josh, because of the inspiration you showed and as a legacy to your dad. I understand 5 people benefited from new kidneys. Is that right?
Yes, and more to come. More to come. The chains are both ongoing so far. So we got to meet the first 5 recipients yesterday, and more will be coming in the months to come. And it all spun out of, you know, the legacy that my dad and my mom taught me growing up, which is to give back to others. We grew up in Naperville, so blessed to grow up there. And just learned this legacy of giving back. And so when my dad said he needed a kidney, by no means was he asking me to do it, but I stepped up and it wasn't even like a second thought. I was like, I'll do it.
Oh,
it just took him a while to say yes.
Yeah, well, I can imagine that position to be in as well, but good for you for sticking to it. So Hannah, how did this work?
So my sister and I kind of reached out to Northwestern in the fall about, you know, potentially donating, and kind of gave them our timeline, went through the testing, which was pretty simple. A few tests and you go in for a day and you're done. And, you know, a few days later they say you're approved or you're not. So we were both approved. And our one request was that we get to donate together. That way we could recover together and, you know, we can recover together at home, and my mom and my brother don't have to take care of us twice. Right. They can just do it all at once. So they gave me the date of March 14th to donate, and I was donating anonymously, so I didn't know who was going to receive my kidney. And March 14th is World Kidney Day, so kind of funny and ironic how this random day that I was donating my kidney has significance.
Sure.
And then my sister Bethany, who's a nurse and working right now, unfortunately, so she can't be on this call, but she donated March 15th, so just the day after me. And we knew the kidneys were staying at Northwestern, so we kind of wandered the halls and tried to scout out who might have received our kidneys, but we didn't actually get to officially meet anyone until yesterday at the meetup Northwestern held.
It had to be emotional for the doctors and nurses, too, because I don't know that they've ever seen or done anything like this, have they?
I know there's been other chains that have started from donation, but I think this was especially special because they knew my dad and had taken care of him for the past, you know, 8+ years or whatever. So at this point, they kind of know the whole family, and they took care of Josh during his donation and now my sister and I during ours.
And then to chime in, like, it's really rare to have an anonymous kidney donation, and one anonymous kidney can spark then the friend of the person that that's given to have another friend donate, to have another friend donate, to have another friend donate. And so to have two anonymous kidney chains started on back-to-back days is extremely rare.
So you have three or four family members now who have given kidneys?
Three
family
so,
members.
Josh, Bethany, and I, so the three siblings, have all donated our kidneys.
And Josh, health-wise, I want to make sure people understand this, because there's a lot of myths out there, as you know. Your health is good?
Perfect. I mean, I've traveled a lot. I run a nonprofit internationally, and I've been to Haiti 15 times since donating a kidney. So, you know, I feel perfectly normal, you know, being able to travel all over the world. And just, it's the quickest hospital stay. You're out of the hospital the next day. We were pretty much back to work the next week, too.
It's an amazing thing, and it's an unbelievable gift to give, and we want to make sure that people know they can do it. So how do they do it? If people are inspired by you guys to look into this, what do they do?
Yeah, so contact your local hospital. If you're in Chicago, you can contact Northwestern and tell them that you're interested in anonymous kidney donation, or if you have a friend that needs one, you're interested in a paired donation is what they call it. But really, there's not oftentimes in life when you truly have a spare part inside your body that you can give to save someone else's life, and this is one of those few times.
It's absolutely amazing. Hannah, did you want to thank anybody or say hi to anybody because of this before I let you guys go?
I want to thank my mom, who has supported all three of us kids through our kidney donations, but also took such great care of us, and my dad through all of his hospital stays. And, you know, we really did this to honor our dad who passed in September. Yeah, so this is for him.
God bless you guys. You know, it's no wonder you're the most valuable people on the planet. Thank you for what you've done.
He loved your show. He listened every day, too.
Oh, that's nice. That's very nice. Well, I'm glad you have such great memories, too. Hold the line, if you would, so we can give you a little something for being on today. And, you know, keep us up to date on how things are going.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having us.
All right. So there you go. Heroes. That's a good family.
That's crazy. I'm trying to go through the diagram of who donated to who, and then
right.
The next one donated.
Right.
Whoa, this is so complicated, but so cool.
Yeah, it really is. Sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done. That's your most valuable person on the planet. All right, coming up, we'll get to your headlines, and we'll get to you guys calling in and you doing the entertaining and the informing on the show at 312-981-7200. Rich, what's your deep question? Oops. Might help if I actually push the button. Rich!
Hello.
Yes.
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
I'm good. Was that your question? How am I doing?
Oh, that's number one. Number two, I love your show, and I just wanted to ask you a little question that has a small follow-up question.
All right, go ahead.
So, a moose, you know, and a goose, a group of more than one goose is called geese. How come we don't call more than one moose meese?
Because everything's changed since Trump was elected. What? That has nothing to do with it. That has nothing to do with it. What am I talking about? I don't know, but that is a good, deep question. What was your follow-up?
No, I agree with you, actually. My follow-up question is, who would win in a fight? A group of angry geese or Ditka?
Oh, Ditka. Absolutely Ditka. Oh, for sure Ditka. I like Rich. There's something wrong with him, and I like that.
Yeah.
Headlines next at 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
747. We continue. Playing hurt. Contagious. Summer cold. Started feeling funky on the golf course yesterday. Oh, and we should say the dates have changed for this year because of the change in the PGA Tour schedule. The FedEx Cup playoffs all in August, and therefore it's an earlier date than ever for the BMW. Yeah. So don't miss out. you're planning on going, I think it's BMW Championship America. You know, check that website out. I want to make sure we get it right.
But it's August. It is BMW Championship USA.com.
Okay.
And it's the 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th is the tournament played. The championship week begins on that Tuesday, the 13th.
And it'll be on NBC, but you should go. It's a Medina.
You know, it's just beautiful. It's a great opportunity, and you're going to see the best players out there.
All right, 312-981-7200. Since I have a summer cold, I'm too weak to do the show. So therefore, I need you to do the show. Call in any question that you might have about anything.
Any question?
Any question. Also on Facebook, we're taking Ask Steve Anything questions.
This is dangerous.
Yeah, really.
We begin with Kyle in Mundelein. Yes, Kyle?
Hey, I know you're feeling a little bit under the weather, but I got
a
story.
Lucky to be alive, Kyle.
Yeah, a little bit under the weather.
Yeah.
So last week I was on the island of Puerto Rico with a little organization we have up here in the north suburbs, and I got to be a part of some really amazing service work down there.
Plug it.
We got a lot of classroom technology, hundreds of donated computers down to schools and teachers down there. We did a lot of training with some teachers down there because, you know, the island is still putting itself together after the hurricane, and the schools down there don't have a lot of access to technology. I got to be a part of some really amazing work training these teachers down there, bringing resources down there. It was just an awesome trip that
plug it. What's the organization? My life.
It's a little organization called Relief Through Leadership.
Relief Through Leadership. Is that church related?
No, it's run by several school districts up here in the north suburbs.
Okay. Well, it sounds like a great thing, man, and I love how pumped you sound about it.
It was awesome. It was so cool. I can't wait to do it again. And anybody who wants to learn more about what we're doing or contribute to the work we're doing, just Google us. We're out there. It was so cool. And anybody who wants to go down to Puerto Rico and do any kind of volunteer work down there to help the people down there, they're wonderful people. They're beautiful people. It's an amazing place, and they need help.
Relief Through Leadership. Thank you very much, Kyle. Let's go to Linda. Yes, Linda.
Good morning, Steve. What I have isn't quite as admirable as that, but I would like to sing you a song to help you feel better.
Oh, fantastic. Wow. I love this. Well, all right, whenever you're ready.
On The Big Bang Theory, whenever Sheldon was sick, they would sing Soft Kitty.
Oh, boy.
Soft Kitty, warm.
Wait, I don't mean to interrupt you, but shouldn't you be rubbing Vicks VapoRub on my chest while you sing this?
I can come right down.
All right, fantastic. All right, please, from the top.
Soft kitty, warm kitty, little ball of fur. Happy kitty, sleepy kitty, purr, purr, purr. Oh, I hope you feel better soon, Steve.
Oh, that is fantastic, Linda. Thank you.
I feel better. I wasn't even sick.
Yeah.
She's tremendous.
I'm almost asleep.
312-981-7200. You can ask me anything. You can bring anything you want to the show. I'm just... Just don't have the strength, Dave. Just don't have the strength. Elizabeth is in Lyle. Yes, Elizabeth.
Hey, Steve. This is Elizabeth. I just wanted to ask and see if you've ever heard of a place called Barkin Park in Batavia.
Oh, Barkin Park. I've heard of it. I've not been there, but yes, I have.
They actually have a spring-fed pond there for dogs to swim.
Oh, that's kind of cool. So you could bring your dog and just let him jump in and go crazy?
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Bark and park in Batavia.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. That's great. That's fantastic. Thank you for that. All right, a couple of Facebook Ask Steve Anything questions. Carolyn, who is your snobbiest guest? There's a few. Most difficult guest. Robert Goulet immediately comes to mind.
I knew you were going to say
that.
Oh, yeah,
me too.
Robert Goulet came in drunk and belligerent, and he was drunk and belligerent in the morning, which is not easy to do. Obviously, he'd been up all night. And he threatened to hit me during one of the breaks because he didn't like my attitude. And I believe I said, bring it, or something close to that.
Bring it, Bobby.
And... you know, when he left, there's things called drop-ins, where you play, in this case, a celebrity endorsement of the show. So sometimes the celebrities come through. It used to be a bigger thing than it is now. But you would have somebody come through and they would say, hi, this is Robert Goulet. Whenever I'm in Chicago, I listen to Steve. Okay? So one of the producers meant well, and the producer took Robert Goulet aside after this very contentious interview and took him into a room to do this, and he agreed. And I give him credit for this because this is quite funny. The tape that he produced was, hi, this is Robert Goulet. Don't listen to Steve. He's fat and he's losing his hair.
Do you still have that?
Somewhere in a pile of sound.
Find it. We have to.
Yeah. And, you know, there have been a lot of people that have been difficult. The most ridiculous guest I ever had was the guy that did the voice for Roger Rabbit, a comedian. Exactly. The look on your face, Dave, sums it up because none of us can remember his name. Charles? I think it was Charles something. My Cracker Jack staff's looking it up right now. But the guy that did the voice for Roger Rabbit comes in and says, listen, I don't want to talk about Roger Rabbit.
Charles Fleischer.
Charles Fleischer didn't want to talk about Roger Rabbit. And I said, well, I'm going to save you a lot of time, Charles. Then I have no interest in talking to you.
What else do you do, Chuck?
Right. But there's been several. And did you notice who I didn't mention?
Yes.
Who?
Yes.
Mitch McConnell.
I can think of two.
Mitch McConnell? Yeah, he was.
I was going to say Billy Dee Williams.
Billy Dee Williams was. He came around, though.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, Billy Dee Williams. Billy Dee Williams agreed to be on the show. We called him at the time that he was supposed to be called. And I said, Billy Dee, how you doing? He said, oh, it's kind of early, Steve. Billy Dee, it's your interview. You agreed to do it. Kurt says, why do towels get darker when they're wet? Dave, I'm going to let you handle this one.
That's physics.
Okay. Corey, do you remember Drop Dead Fred as fondly as we do? Well, of course I do. That was my first movie. And I played a couple of roles in it, but one was very important. It was waiter number two. Would you like me to recreate?
Yes, please.
I don't remember the lines.
Phoebe, well, it's quite difficult. Phoebe Cates sitting at the table with her date. And there's an imaginary friend who's always causing problems. And he has destroyed part of this table before they sat down. So the table's a bit uneven. And something's broken. And I come over and I serve both of them and I notice it. And I reach over and I just touch the edge of the table. And I say, same way Brando would have said, oh, this table, loose again? And I walk away. Wow. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I almost felt like I was there.
Yeah, thank you.
You could have said that a lot of different ways, too.
Yeah.
Did they make you do it a bunch of different times?
They let me make the choice because as a great American actor, you know, you don't want a director in your head too much.
Right.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Betsy writes on Facebook, Steve, what's the funniest joke you know by heart? I got to tell you something. And John DeCosta and I have talked about this. And Mike Toomey maybe is one of the fun. Well, he's not maybe. He is one of the funniest stand-ups in the country. None of us remember jokes. And really, I'm telling you, amongst professional comedians, you don't remember jokes. You just don't. I hear them. I enjoy them, some of them. But I literally could not tell you a single joke I remember right now. I mean, I can tell you stuff from my act, but I'm telling you stuff that I can tell you stuff from Mike and John's act. But no, I don't have anything. You got a joke? Anybody got a joke they want to tell?
My dad was so good at this. He could remember jokes. He'd read those Ole and Lena books, you know, that Orion has. And he had all the editions, and he would grab a joke, and every week he'd have a new one for us. It was awesome. But he'd remember them. I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Kind of like Nick's dad.
Yes. Yes, Nick's dad tells a joke.
And he had a really good one yesterday, and I already forgot it.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, Betsy, I let you down. Sue Jane writes, love your humor and zest for life. What's your secret? It's no secret. I am blessed to have this job, and I never, ever, 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 ever forget that. This is the greatest radio station, and this is the show to work on at this radio station, and I am lucky beyond anything I could have imagined when I first got into this business to be here. And it's an honor to be here every morning. I mean, this is where Wally sat. This is where Spike sat. And Bob Collins, obviously. I mean, what am I doing here? Taking up space.
We've never wondered that.
To my face. Couple of calls and we're done. Aaron, thank you for helping fill this half hour, because I'm on my deathbed, as you can tell, Aaron. Go ahead.
Well, since you're going to make me do your job for you, first of all, I will be expecting a check in the mail soon.
Not a problem.
And I was wondering, do you think that fathers should get mandatory or like paid time off work if they have a child born, like the mothers.
Oh, paternity leave, yeah, absolutely. But I think the primary caregiver, whether it's the mother or the father, should be the one that gets the extended leave. I think there should be a limit on the other parent, to be fair to the employer. But I think absolutely father should not be let out of this, or shut out of this, I should say. Father should absolutely get paternity leave. But, you know, the world we live in now obviously is way different than it was in the 70s when Dave and I were around and dinosaurs roamed the earth, where moms were always home. Now moms go back to work, dads are home. You and I both know a lot of stay-at-home dads.
Sure, absolutely.
I think this is fantastic. I mean, my son, who has a 2-year-old and a 6-month-old, he works for Johnson & Johnson company, and he gets, I think, 2 months. So what he has done, he took like a couple weeks off at the beginning, then he takes off like every Friday or every
month. Great.
And he helps out at, you know, with the daycare, because she works too. And it really has helped, especially when the kids are sick.
Yeah, absolutely. Aaron, are you a new dad?
Yeah, I have a 2-year-old and a 3-month-old.
That's the best, buddy.
Same thing, yeah.
It's the best.
Congratulations.
And here's the thing about the 2-year-old. You're almost at that point where the 2-year-old's going, I don't know who this guy is, but he comes in here every day, and he just looks like a friend. And that kid is going to make you the hero. Because you know this, Aaron, the first 2 years, mostly about mom. Maybe even into the third year, just a touch. But it won't be long, pal, before you're the hero that the kid can't get enough of.
Well, when I get home from work, she usually runs up, tackles me, gives me a hug, and then, you know, go play with her toys or whatever. So at least I get that. At least I get the recognition that she misses me while I'm at work.
Dude, fathers and daughters, you're just days away. Trust me.
Got her wrapped around your
family. Oh, yeah. I have two daughters. So.
Yeah. God bless you, man. Be a great dad. It's the most important job you'll ever do.
Oh, yeah. That's certainly the plan. Thank you.
All right, Aaron. Thank you. And John has stupid questions. Michael, make a note of the stupid questions, and we'll get to those as soon as possible. You know, it would be a good time for stupid questions. More on entertainment. We'll get to that with Dean coming up as well in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Look, there's Steve. He's next.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
time now for America's favorite feature. It's Moron Entertainment. We shouted Dean Richards.
Morons. Good morning, moron.
What's happening, moron?
It's a beautiful day. I'm getting in the 4th of July weekend mood.
Yes, I could tell by where you've stuck that firework.
That's no bottle rocket. It feels like holiday weekend already.
How'd the grilling go yesterday?
Oh, it was really fantastic.
Loved it?
Sorry.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Bear?
Did you get your grills from Apt?
No, we did. We did not.
No.
Although I was in touch with our friend Steve Shapiro yesterday on another issue that happened last night at my house. We got the grill issue fixed yesterday. I did 6 different kinds of pizzas on the grill yesterday.
You got to be employee of the month.
We did a whole variety of seafoods. I did a sweet and a chili shrimp kebab. I did a lemon.
You're a shrimp kebab.
You're a shrimp kebab. We're all shrimp kebabs. Swordfish cherry tomato kebabs. Greek style, and salmon fillets, which are so great and so easy, and everyone's so intimidated by them. But I showed how to do it super nice and easy. And
all right, I have a grilling question about salmon.
Yes.
Because I love a salmon burger.
I did salmon burgers yesterday also.
But salmon seems to fall apart on the grill. What am I doing wrong?
Well, you need to oil your grill first.
You oil it.
You mean like a fillet or like a burger?
No, like a salmon patty.
Okay, so if you're doing a patty,
yeah,
I would take some paper towels, put some oil on it.
Okay.
Olive oil, not motor oil.
Not like a 10-20 or 20-40.
Not like a 10W-40. 40-60. No, I would not do that. I would maybe do some olive oil. Grill the, oil the grill first and then put the burger down.
Okay.
And then you'll get some good sear marks on it.
Oh, yeah.
And then flip it over. And then basically you're just kind of baking it at that point. I would do it...
You know, low heat?
I would do it first under direct heat, And then after the flip, I would do it on indirect heat.
Okay.
Because really, you just want to finish cooking the burger on the inside then. And that way, you've only got one flip in there. It's not going to fall apart. If you're careful, also, you have to be a little bit careful in the flip, which is also good advice in life.
There's no question about it. So leaving it on for 2.5 hours just to make sure it doesn't fall apart probably isn't good for the taste.
Leave it on for 2.5 hours. I'd send it over to John McDonough at the Blackhawks. They can probably use it during a game.
It's a salmon puck.
You're right. You're a salmon puck.
Neil Diamond musical on the way. Little Nas news. That's big for our audience.
Our audience loves the rappers.
And Spider-Man review coming up in a second as well. When people stop you and ask you about grilling and cooking and stuff, what's the one thing they ask you?
Without a doubt, the pizza on the grill.
Sure.
And people ask me most about that is how you do it on the grill. How do you not burn it? You want to get fancy and make your own dough, knock yourself out, go crazy. In the store, they sell pizza dough already that you got to stretch it out. And they sell these pre-made pizza crusts already. And all you do is you put it on the grill for about a minute under a medium heat. So one side gets a little bit toasty. And then you take it out, flip it over. So now the toasted side is facing up. The non-cooked side is on the bottom. Then you put your toppings on the toasted side of the pizza crust, put it back on the grill, low to medium heat. Indirect heat really is better because at this point, really all you want to do is melt the cheese, melt the stuff that's on top of the grill. The bottom that was previously uncooked now is going to get toasted. And you have a nice crunchy pizza crust with, our favorites that we made yesterday was turkey sausage with a bunch of grilled vegetables that I made ahead of time. So it was this sweet, delicious turkey sausage, kind of healthy, sorry to disappoint, with a bunch of grilled vegetables on it. But I made a Hawaiian pizza with prosciutto and pineapple yesterday. We made a classic margarita pizza with tomato and hunks of mozzarella cheese on it.
Did you put all the recipes or techniques or whatever?
Everything. The videos of me doing it, and all the recipes are up at WGNTV.com.
And Dean, doing this, oddly enough, has chosen a Cowboys outfit with a 10-gallon hat.
Yep. So if you think it's easy to grill in leather chaps, I'll tell you something. It is not.
I woke up with a summer cold today, Dean, so, obviously I'm an Iron Man to be here. So the last half hour I said, I don't feel like it. You guys do the show. So I took a bunch of calls and questions from people.
Yeah.
And texts as well. So here's a couple. Steve, multiple mongoose or mongooses. Explain that.
Not mongeese?
No. And I just think that's perfect for Moron Entertainment. 630, Steve, put your dog and your husband in the trunk, walk away for an hour, come back, open the trunk. Who's happy to see you? That's unconditional love.
That's awesome.
I do have to say, if you lock your husband up in a trunk, he does have a right to be slightly cranky.
I'm saying anybody locking anything or anyone in a trunk, is not ideal.
815.
Not in this stifling the heat.
815, Alfredo says, have you ever run a mile nonstop, Steve? And if so, what was your time? Yes, I used to run all the time. Okay, it was 30 years ago, but I used to run all the time.
I never liked it. I have how people go, oh, you get the adrenaline rush. I always hated running, always.
I probably quit running 20 years ago now, I think about it. And I've forgotten how to run now. But the only time I remember was on the football team where I ran a mile in 7 minutes and 42 seconds.
Yeah.
And it was the slowest guy on the team.
Oh. I remember in grade school, they used to make us run around the school. I hated it when I was 7 years old.
Are you sure you weren't being chased by someone?
Well, that's sort of been the story of my life.
All of this sponsored by Ravinia. 815, my question for Steve is, why are men such babies when they're sick? Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
A woman says, I'm a teacher. I'm going into work because I want to get away from my sick husband.
Dean, we've been hearing about it since 6:05.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah. 847.
Except I completely relate to it. The reason that I called Steve Shapiro last night, I had a brownout at my house last night. I've never had that in my entire life.
No, I agree.
Either the power just goes out or it doesn't. But I'm sitting doing some stuff. I'm feeling it's getting warm in the house. The lights are dimming. Some are flickering. Some begin to go out. I go to use my dishwasher, and it's not working at all. There's no power. So, of course, poor Steve Shapiro, he hears from all of us when anything like that happens. I text him. I said, hey, something's up with my dishwasher. Do I need a repair guy to come out? And so, you know, we're going back and forth, check this, check that, check this. And then finally all the lights, just they were down to like one light in the house was
out. Well, it's all the air conditioning. And you know, everybody's air conditioning
went out. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, because we had it too. So, all right.
I'm sitting in the house like you, big baby. It's like, oh, I can't.
Whoa. Hey,
I'm
whoa.
So hot. I can't. Big baby. I'm going to go to a hotel. I can't take this.
Big baby. I mean, I'm here, man. I'm here.
But you've been whining all morning.
There is that.
He's here. He's whining. Get used to it.
It's 8:25. We'll come back with the stuff I mentioned because I've forgotten what it was.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard Shirley, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
Sponsored by Ravinia, we continue with Moron Entertainment. One of the listener questions when they were doing the show last half hour, Dean, was, Steve, tell me your favorite joke, and I don't remember any jokes. So they started texting in jokes. 630, what kind of bees make milk, Dean? That's right, boobies.
Would not have thought of that.
Honorary moron right there.
Yep. Very nice.
All right. Can we continue?
You get your secret moron decoder ring. You send it something like that.
We continue sponsored by Ravinia. The Neil Diamond musical
is going to be produced. They announced yesterday. You know, there's been ABBA musical on Broadway and Billy Joel and Elvis and Four Seasons. Go down the list. Now there will be a Neil Diamond musical. It's going to be written by the guy who wrote the screenplay for Bohemian Rhapsody.
Is it called Cracklin' Rosie?
It should be, or it's got to be called Sweet Caroline or something like that. So no date on when it's going to be ready to view yet, but it's definitely going to happen.
The rapper that came out yesterday?
Lil Nas X is his name.
Is that Lil Nas the 10th?
It actually is Lil Nas 10.
Okay.
The X does stand for that because he said that's how many years it's going to take for him to become a musical legend.
Okay.
That's how he decided his name. He actually has the number one song on the charts right now and has had the number one charts for quite a while. So, I mean, if you're not into, the top 10 of, like the songs that kids are listening to, I guess, right now, you may not be familiar with them. But did you watch the... what was the award show that was on? Was that the Billboard Music Awards recently? And there was Billy Ray Cyrus and a rapper who was dressed up in like a cowboy.
Is that Lil Nas?
It was like kind of a rap country.
Yeah, it's a big hit.
That's Lil Nas X.
Yeah, that's the number one song.
That's him.
And Billy Ray Cyrus with a rapper. I mean, why not? And Lil Nas came out this week because Pride Week was last week and just decided this was the time.
He put it out in a post on Sunday, but he said if you listen to the lyrics of one of his songs, I can't remember the name of the song, but one of his songs, he basically says, that he wants to be true to himself, he wants to love who he wants to love, he explains all of the reasons. But that's significant in the rap world.
It absolutely is.
Not exactly known for being super friendly to LGBTQ issues.
Spider-Man, Far From Home.
Really great movie. I gave it a Dean's List A.
What?
I loved it. It's spoiler alert. It follows up on what happened in Avengers Endgame. It picks up everything that you learned in both Infinity Wars and Endgame and continues the story. It's like a little prologue of that, really what I've been calling the Sistine Chapel of Marvel movies. It's so epic. This one is just complete fun action. It's so true to the essence of the Spider-Man, both the comic book and the early movies with this. British actor Tom Holland does such a good job as the new Spider-Man. Actress, singer, model Zendaya plays his love interest, MJ. And it's the story of this kid, after everything that happened in Avengers Endgame, he just wants to relax. He just wants to be a teenage kid.
They're just chilling. Spider-Man chilling.
Yeah,
Netflix and chill.
He and his schoolmates, they're going on a European school trip, and he's going to tell MJ the girl that he has a major crush on, how he feels about her. But things start to happen. Super bad guys start showing up, and, you know, he's kind of torn between, you know, what to do. So that's where the action comes in. The teen angst and the teen romance, the dopey teenager aspect of this movie is really funny. Samuel L. Jackson adds a lot to the movie. So does Jake Gyllenhaal. John Favreau's in the movie. Just performance is great. The look, the feel, the everything about this movie is just really, really fun. It opens today. Spider-Man Far From Home, Dean's List Day.
It is Dean Richards.
Yes.
One half, which means 61% of Moron Entertainment.
Yep. Said that correctly. Math for somebody who's working hurt today.
I'm lucky to be alive.
You are bringing it.
Yeah, and I'm not bringing it up. You know, people just keep asking. I'll be over here crying gently in the corner. And you, my friend, have a good morning.
I hope they Purell the studio down before Bill and Wendy get there.
They do that even when I'm healthy.
Oh, very nice.
We'll come back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Jewel Osco, the city of Chicago, the 19th Ward, Alderman Matt O'Shea, and you all getting together to help vets. And Matt O'Shea joins us now talking about the Help a Hero for Veterans thing that is an easy way for you to help and an important one. Good morning, Mr. O'Shea.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks so much for having me on.
Appreciate you being on. All right, let's talk about this now. Jewel Osco, a good partner to have. How do we help vets, and what's this thing called?
It's real simple, Steve. Operation Help a Hero, homeless veterans throughout our city. They need our help. The city of Chicago and Jewel Osco are partnering, collecting new store-bought household items to distribute to our veterans in need. We work with the Jesse Brown VA Medical Center, and we're just trying to help these guys get back on their feet.
Well, now, they don't have households to use the household items. So, just specifically, so people don't get confused, these are items for hygiene, items to keep on their person. What are we talking about?
When you're out shopping this 4th of July weekend, pick up an extra bottle of shampoo, toothpaste, Windex, paper towels, a smoke detector, garbage bag, basic household items that you and I take for granted, Steve.
So these are veterans that are struggling as well.
Veterans, but we need to give them basic household items.
Right, so veterans that are struggling or veterans that are homeless or veterans that are in shelters and all everybody in between.
Yes, sir.
Got it. All right, so the Jewel Osco piece is what?
Jewel Osco has been our partner the last 2 years. All Jewel Osco locations in the city, and there are 32 of them, are also collecting these items. So you can go to 15 different park locations. You can go to any of the 50 aldermanic offices. And, Steve, I think that in and of itself is an accomplishment to get 50 aldermen working on one thing together, pulling in the same direction.
Well, let me tell you something. If you can't get 50 aldermen to agree on this, then we need to smack a few.
We got bigger problems. But Operation Help the Heroes goes from Memorial Day through the 4th of July weekend. We're having one last strong push to help our veterans in need.
It's a great thing to do. Website for more information or phone number?
cityofchicago.org/helpahero.
How's it going with Mayor Lightfoot? You getting along?
Yeah, I keep my head down. I just do my job. I work for my community. I don't get involved in the drama. You know, she's got a lot on her plate, and I look forward to working with her.
Where are you on prerogative?
Prerogatives never bothered me. If you are dotting your I's, crossing your T's, communicating with department heads and the fifth floor, and communicating with the people that you represent in your community, everything's going to be fine.
Can't we have it both ways in a good way? In other words, can't we? Because the aldermen are the ones that can do the most good for communities the fastest. But you, understand that some aldermen have taken advantage of the system. So can't we save the system in a way that's not dicey and not, the wrong way to do it?
Absolutely. I think this is just a case of the voters clearly wanted transparency and accountability. This is what the mayor is bringing. We just need to work together.
It's Matt O'Shea trying to get it done with the help of the city for Help a Hero. What year is this for?
This is our fourth annual.
Yeah, congratulations. How about your website for information on you?
Yes, my website is Matt O'Shea at the19thward.com.
All right, appreciate you coming on.
Steve, thanks so much. You have a good fourth.
All right, you as well. See you later. Alderman O'Shea. Dave, I believe in sports director prerogative where you get to, you know, do whatever you want.
I'm all for it.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking
Thank
about.
Thank you. I like when you're not feeling well.
Facebook continues to supply us with questions they have of me today as I limp to the finish line. But looking forward to the 9 o'clock hour. City College's kids are going to be in. Also, Senator Durbin coming up. It will be on as well. Wouldn't be good if I gave him a summer cold, right, if I was contagious?
Do we think you're going to have enough energy to come in tomorrow?
It's not likely. Okay. No.
Yeah, but tomorrow's July 3rd. We have our big 4th of July extravaganza.
Festivities, yeah.
No, we do. Barbecue.
Yes.
That's more reason than ever for me not to come in.
To bring in the food.
Listen, I'm hallucinating, so I could probably do that for you. And I'm off next Thursday, Friday as well. So that'd be 2 3-day weeks in a row, and I couldn't come in for all 6 days. That's kind of weak, isn't it? Oh, you don't want me to come in. Oh, I get it. Okay, I got it.
You're not going to be here next Thursday, Friday?
I've got a couple days off.
Really?
This week, it's the 4th of July, and the day after the 4th of July. Next week, it's a couple planned days off.
Yeah, but the day after the 4th of July is not a holiday.
Are you going to be here, Dave?
Yeah, I'll be here.
Oh, I'm not.
None of us are.
It's not like a company holiday.
Okay, but
it's a work day.
Here's the thing, Mr. Italy. You've been traveling all over the country this year.
Actually,
that's out of the country, to be precise.
We all got together when you were in Italy, too, and decided we were going to be off on Friday, too.
Right.
I missed that meeting because I'll be here with Dave.
Oh, you staying?
Super Joe. Okay. You're the man.
Super Joe and Dave show Friday. Listen for that.
All sports.
Super Joe, I hope you notice who I gave top billing there.
What's up?
Sox win!
The White Sox family reunion on WGN Radio. Does this sound familiar?
All-star James McCann is joining us right now.
Your thoughts on the White Sox being the first team to extend the netting all the way down to the foul pole?
I'm all for it. I understand the argument of it takes away from fan and player interaction, but safety is more important to me. You know, I have a family. I have two young boys and a wife, and I've told them before I never want them sitting anywhere without a net protecting them in the dugout. It's scary at times. So for a fan that may not be paying 100% attention, the net, in my opinion, is a must-have.
There it is, your official clue to call. Be caller 20 now at 312-981-7200.
312-981-7200.
Score Sox tickets and be qualified to win the White Sox family reunion. A private suite with room for 20 guests to see the Sox play in July. Caller 20 right now, 312-981-7200.
That's the number all the time for anything. As we continue. All right, a couple more questions from Facebook as the listeners are chiming in to try to help me finish the show, Dave, because I don't know if you heard. I'm not feeling great today.
Really? I had not heard that.
Joe asked, boxers or briefs? It's actually a combo platter. It's boxer briefs. I wear the Tommy John boxer briefs. Highly recommended. Why is Tommy John not advertising on this show, by the way? I've been talking about Tommy John for years.
Because he doesn't have to, because you're talking about
it. That's a good point.
I don't know if it's he. I guess it's a company.
Yeah.
They also do surgery.
No, that's a different.
Oh.
Are those the underpants that have the vents in them? That's the breathable ones?
Well, they're very comfortable. And yes, they're I don't know how breathable they are. They have gills.
TMI.
They're very comfortable, and they don't have the typical opening on a man's pair of underpants. They have a front flap as opposed to a front flap.
What's wrong with Fruit of the Looms?
Well, come on. I don't think I've worn tidy whiteys since I was about 12.
They come in a variety of colors.
I've worn Fruit of the Looms. I like Tommy John. What's wrong with me picking out my underpants?
I don't know. It's fine.
What color are they?
Your voice is getting kind of
You got the gray ones or the black ones or the blue ones?
I have a variety of colors, but I prefer black and blue.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I like my bruises, black and blue. Mm-hmm. Jan asks, how'd you lose weight? Very complicated program. Eat less, move more. Not being a jerk, not trying to be funny. eat less, move more, and I don't eat at night like I used to. Used to have like a four-course Thanksgiving dinner, six-course Thanksgiving dinner, and then go to bed. Oddly enough, that's not healthy.
Bad idea.
Yeah.
So when you say move more, what are you doing?
Going to the gym.
Are you going to the gym?
Going to the gym.
Nice. What do you do there?
I'm also getting a Charlie horse right now in my, yeah. in my leg.
What's happening over
sitting
there?
Here too long?
Do you want a banana?
Going to the gym. I lift and I walk. I can't run anymore, but I lift and I walk. And, you know, do a little biking.
Nice.
But also now, this time of year, playing a ton of golf.
Look at you.
Let's see. Ivy, what's your favorite movie? Ooh, that's tough. That's tough. A lot of different categories, but the one movie I always stop for, it's kind of a Brainiacs movie. It's called Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing how I saw that movie a few years ago. I hadn't seen it in a long time. And how, by today's standards, how incorrect it is.
Completely politically incorrect. But yeah. I challenge any guy in America to not watch it, even if you only have 30 seconds. You will pop it on. And a helpful listener pointed this out earlier in a text. The governor, Governor LePetitmaine, is Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Give me a harumph. Hey, that guy didn't give me a harumph. So thank you for that. Let's see, one more. What's it like to be a doppelganger for Billy Joel? It's not bad for me. I don't think it's great for Billy. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I think Billy's probably tired of people going, you're Steve Cochran, right? Yeah, not so much.
Or Dean Richards.
Laura's on the phone. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. How are you?
You want to be the qualifier?
Absolutely.
All right. You're the qualifier. You're the winner.
Well, thank you.
Four tickets to an upcoming Sox game. You're qualified to win the suite for 20. I'll ask you the same thing I ask everybody. Do you have 19 family members you want to spend 3 or 4 hours with?
Oh, I have more than that, and absolutely.
All right, good. Glad to hear that. And that's July 28th. Sunday the 28th is the big family reunion game. Still one more chance to qualify. Listen to Ro and Anna this afternoon at 5:40 for the clue on when to win tomorrow morning. But you are in, Laura. There's only 7 qualifiers.
Okay. Well, hopefully we'll be there, and I hope you feel better.
Thank you. Oh, I didn't even know that I brought it up. Thank you for that.
You keep waiting for someone to say, well, I don't really have 19 relatives I want to hang out with. You're waiting, aren't you?
I probably shouldn't project, should
I? Yeah, I don't think you should.
It is coming up on 9 o'clock, and do we need another break for the news? Yeah, we do. All right, we'll do that now. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, that's where Steve is next.
Steve Cochran.
Will you please report to the radio booth?
It's Steve Cochran from the Allstate Skyline Studio on 720 WGN.
Well, we check in with our friends at City Colleges regularly because we like what they do. Stephanie Cross here. Stephanie, what do you do at City Colleges?
I serve as the Associate Vice Chancellor for Advising and Student Success.
How big's your business card? That's a long time.
Yes, it's a lot of great work to help students be successful.
What does it mean? You're the liaison? You're the cheerleader? What are you?
Yeah, so I work directly with our 7 colleges, the deans of student services and their teams, in helping students be successful. So whether it's academic advising, student leadership, wellness, disability access services, overall, helping the student experience go well.
Sounds like you're doing all of it.
Just a smidge.
But it's a fun job.
It is a great job. I enjoy anything that I can do to help students reach their dreams.
And you want to introduce one of them here?
Yes. We have an amazing student. Well, I would say past student here with us this morning. He's going to share his story. Nathan is here. So I will definitely pass it to him.
Nathan Maldonado?
Yes.
Where are you from?
Well, originally I'm from Puerto Rico, but I live here in Chicago.
And how long have you been here?
I've been here almost 20 years.
Oh, okay. And what drew you to City Colleges?
Wright College.
All right. And what do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, well, currently...
We should say, for those of you not watching CLTV, he's plenty grown.
Yes. I'm currently attending right now at DeVry University, pursuing my bachelor's degree in technical management, concentration, and human resource development.
So what would that be? What kind of job would you have?
My kind of job would be working in the human resource department. Especially, I want to get involved working for City Colleges.
Well, that's great. You see a lot of that, Stephanie, where people want to pay it forward because they had such a good experience at City Colleges?
Absolutely. There are a number of individuals that are alum of City Colleges and have come back to pay it forward because they've seen the value in the experience in the classroom, getting involved on campus, and they want to have want to help other young people have that same experience.
Now, here's the thing. A lot of folks who attend City Colleges are not exactly sitting on a big pile of money. And the opportunity to go to school either for free because you've done a good thing or at a reasonable rate is crucial. But you also recently did a survey, a recent survey, I should say, where you found out there's a lot of food insecurity out there. Explain what that means.
Yes. Yeah, so recently we had results from our Real College survey come out. And so even prior to that survey, we found that many of our students that are trying to pursue college to receive their degree and go on and help their families be successful were experiencing food and housing insecurities. And so by us knowing that beforehand in the Real College survey helped to confirm those results, we have done a number of things to help our students not allow for food or other basic needs to be a hindrance to them being successful.
Yeah, don't hold them back. Now, Nathan, you were one of these folks that needed some help at a food pantry, right?
Yes, I was a former student at Wright College and also a full-time student working part-time.
Sure.
Paying for my own studio apartment, trying to pay light, gas, and bill. I barely had any money for food. So when I found out that City Colleges were offering these services, food pantry, I made sure I took advantage of it. It helped me out because usually as a student, I lived there from morning, from 8 o'clock in the morning all the way to 9:30. So I was barely able to have three meals per day.
Sure.
So while I was a student and when I found out about
it. It's a big deal when you found out it was available.
Yeah, so it was a big deal. And every month I was there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon getting two or three bags and walking around my classroom all the way to 9:30. And that was able to me to survive and nourish myself so I could be a productive student and excel in my academics.
Yeah, and I appreciate your courage in talking about it because it inspires other people when you do.
Yes, and students, like I tell my students, because I volunteer for the food pantry, I tell the students at the City Colleges, these are the resources out there. Please make sure you take advantage of them. It'll help out you and your family members.
And again, over 3,000 students took part in a survey. We found out about 60% of students need help in some form.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For students that don't know that exists, how do they access it?
Yeah, so we have currently five permanent food pantries at five of our campuses, and the other two campuses will have them by the end of 2019. So students can visit their wellness center on their campus to gain access to the food pantries. And so those services are available at various times, so they would check in with their wellness centers to see how they can access those resources.
And again, Nathan, if you're eating and you're not hungry, you can focus on getting good grades and getting more out of school.
Correct.
It's not exactly brain surgery, is it?
No, it's not. Yeah.
Well, it's great to meet both of you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And I got to tell you, Stephanie, I love your attitude.
I'm excited about this work. I mean, getting into higher education, it's important that I pay it forward. Being someone that has experienced housing insecurities in my own life and due to a number of things, I know the value of being able to feed the stomach helps to help you be able to feed your mind and be successful.
There was a private donor who made a big difference here. Do you have a lot of those folks who step up?
Yeah, at different points, we have individuals that also want to partner with City Colleges to support our students. So we have currently an emergency fund where we had a donor, an anonymous donor give $500,000 to allow for us to help students who are experiencing emergencies. So if they have a bill, they're getting a notice of disconnection or they're possibly going to be evicted, they can access up to $750 a semester to help them with those emergencies. So we're excited about that work.
Yeah, and you have to realize that by helping folks like Nathan be able to realize their own dreams and to get out there and do their thing, it helps everybody else.
Correct.
Because you're going to be out there in that HR position. You're going to be helping people out. You're a taxpayer. You're going to be helping the rest of us out. It's a world-growing kind of thing.
Absolutely.
You got family, Nathan?
Yes, I do.
Who's here with you? not here, but in Chicago.
I have my mom and my sisters.
Okay, but they're very proud of you.
Yes.
All right. Well, it's great to see you.
Likewise.
And thank you, Stephanie, as always. And thank it's to everybody at City Colleges. Look, just Google up City Colleges. You get all the information you need.
Yes, ccc.edu. Or if anyone is interested in enrolling at City Colleges, you can call 773-COLLEGE. And we are now enrolling for the fall semester. So come and join our family.
Yeah, and I want to thank Mayor Emanuel, who was a regular on this show and will be again, because he was a big, big supporter of making sure City Colleges is on the track that it's on now. So thank you guys as well.
Thank you for
having us. Happy 4th.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
You know, if you look at the Steve Cochran all-time top 10, there's number 3, Commodores, Brick House. If I was stranded on a deserted island, I would only need 2 songs. This and Rod Stewart, Hot Legs. Back to back to back to back to back. Who's that knocking on my door? It's got to be 3:45.
How's it number 3 on the list, though?
Well, it varies. You know, things pop in and out. There are some new songs that make the top 10 as well. And, you know, in my state of disrepair right now, who knows? It could be 3, could be 10. Who knows?
I just saw Lionel Richie at Ravinia a couple weeks ago. He did this.
Crowd go nuts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nothing like a lot of white people dancing, though, isn't it? Play this at a wedding, people getting up.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a Bob Seger old-time rock and roll. You want to see a bunch of white people who can't dance get up? Play old-time rock and roll. Oh, what was I doing? Oh, yeah, this. Donald Trump is got an interesting take on homelessness. We didn't get a chance to play this sound earlier. Joe, this is from Fox News and Tucker Carlson talking to President Trump. Listen.
It's a phenomenon that started 2 years ago. It's disgraceful. I'm going to maybe, and I'm looking at it very seriously. We're doing some other things, as you probably noticed, like some of the very important things that we're doing now. But we're looking at it very seriously because you can't do that. You can't have what's happening where police officers are getting sick just by walking the beat. I mean, they're getting actually very sick. Where people are getting sick, where the people living there are living in hell, too. Although some of them have mental problems where they don't even know they're living that way. In fact, perhaps they like living that way. They can't do that. We cannot ruin our cities. And you have people that work in those cities. They work in office buildings, and to get into the building, they have to walk through a scene that nobody would have believed possible 3 years ago.
What the hell are you talking about? That's the President of the United States.
So he's
describing homelessness in this country. It's a problem that started 2 to 3 years ago.
Okay. I there's been homelessness forever.
Uh-huh.
Right?
To the beginning of time.
Yes.
He also said, this part of the G20, you come to where we are now, Osaka, Tokyo, the cities are clean, no graffiti. Very different than our cities. San Francisco, I'm sure you mentioned Chicago. San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York. You got a major problem with filth. It's very sad.
I'm surprised he mentioned New York.
The thing that is so Trumpian, and because there's so much stuff to talk about, and this is one of the reasons it drives me nuts that CNN and MSNBC are spending so much time talking about 2020. This is an important story because this shows a lack of sensitivity to a heartbreaking problem in this country by the President of the United States. Now you're saying, wow, Trump's not sensitive. What a shocker. But it's the type of thing that's an important story that's not getting covered. Again, the President of the United States thinks homelessness started 2 or 3 years ago. And by the way, the time frame is weird.
Right, because that's when he took office.
Exactly. So does he get credit for it? In his world, in his calendar, why did it start 2 or 3 years ago? But you remember the old Bruce Hornsby song, That's Just the Way It Is? There's a line in the song about passing a homeless man saying, get a job. It's a cliche to some extent, but how many times have you walked by a homeless person and you look the other way? You know, you didn't respond. They say, could you help me out? You don't respond. You just don't want to deal with it. You walk the other way. Or you walk by, it's unpleasant. You don't want to look. We are all, it's that there, but for the grace of God thing. we're all a couple of missed paychecks away from missing a house payment. We're all three or four missed paychecks away from, or being unemployed away from ending up like that. You would not believe the people who are homeless in this country who weren't a short time ago. And, you know, the idea that he's going, oh, some of these people are crazy. Some of them want to live like that. Oh, the poor office people who have to walk through them on the way to work. How dare you? This is why he has the opinion that he has about people at the border. And yet nobody's talking about it. You know, we can't talk about it because we're talking about other stuff.
Yeah, and the conversation always comes back to, oh, the economy is doing so, so well. Wall Street's doing so, so well. And I try to remind everybody as much as possible that more than half of the country is not involved in Wall Street. More than half the country doesn't have a 401k. They don't have stocks. And more than half the country is about $400 away from being in trouble, as you mentioned.
Yeah,
they don't have that much money saved for an emergency.
There's two economies. There's the Wall Street economy, and there's the regular people economy. And that economy is much bigger. And they're not exactly swimming in it. So this notion that the economy is just going nuts because the Dow continues to fly at record levels, as Steve just said, it doesn't apply. So, it's frustrating, and I know people get tired of beating the same drum, but this is the stuff you have to talk about because you have to understand who he is, and you have to understand that he has the most important job in the world, and stuff like that falls out of his mouth. It's just ridiculous. If you're looking for a homeless facility, shelter, that I think is just innovative and cutting edge and a place that you could help, there's a place called Hesed House in Aurora that is just state of the art. And I learned so much about homelessness from not just my son, who's one of the biggest hearts, one of the most charitable people I know, but Ryan Dowd, who runs Hesed House. And talking about the families that they have there. They got families who don't have a home. They're living in shelter until they can get a home. And they get up and they go to their job. And they get their kids up and they send them to school. And they come back at night so they have a place to stay. So they stay at the shelter at Hesed House. It's safe. And there's a lot of folks, if you take the time to stop and talk to people on the street. And, you know, even if you can't give them money, you know what a difference it makes? When you stop and you acknowledge that that's another human being, when you just stop and say, hey, I'm sorry, I don't have any money that I can help you out with, but I hope you're okay. What's your name? At the great risk that they may not be friendly to you, I can guarantee you the vast majority of times you take that risk, you're going to have someone who engages in a conversation with you because they want to be treated like a person. Just acknowledge them. Just ask them their name. It's not that hard. And, you know, count your blessings that you're not in that position. And I think it'll be a better day. But, again, for the 9 millionth time, shame on the guy in the White House.
That one went sizzling off into the stands. And just hope everybody's okay. Almora is...
Everybody's shaking.
Yeah, it hit a young child. Oh. And so Almora is really shaking up right there. And I mean, he saw it. So
yeah, no, I mean, and the players, you can see everybody across the way. It's obviously the nets have been extended as far as anywhere in baseball.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
.940. That was it. Cubs Astros.
Yep.
Look, we've seen way too much of this. The real eye opener, I think, for a lot of people was Brian Gumbel and a piece that was done on Real Sports. Had to be 2 years ago now, where it brought back 5, 6, 7, 8 people who had been injured to seriously injured to severely injured by foul balls.
Yeah.
Showing the point counterpoint of how they do baseball in Japan and how Japanese baseball is a fully netted enclosure, if you will, and no fans are in danger. We live in a world where people are way too attached to their phones. And because of the pace of baseball and the opportunity to have conversations and not paying attention at a time when athletes are bigger and stronger, and the ball is flying faster and harder, frankly, than I think it ever has, you get these kind of dangerous situations. So, can politics help? Well, you guys ought to help something, Senator. How are you?
I'm great, Steve.
you. How you doing?
Senator Durbin joins us now. I don't know if you heard on the intro, but the Brian Gumbel Real Sports piece was a real eye-opener in regards to how this is handled. The White Sox, got to give the White Sox credit for stepping up here, but where's the rest of Major League Baseball, and what can you guys do to help?
Well, Jerry Reinsdorf does deserve plaudits for it, and I never spoke to him about it personally. I wrote a letter to Major League Baseball a couple of years ago saying you ought to extend the nets. They called me back and said, Senator, MLB is all for it. It's the individual clubs that have to make the decision. Well, Jerry was one of the first on behalf of the White Sox. We're now up to, I believe, five teams that are moving seriously in that direction. Pittsburgh Pirates just announced in the last few days they were joining the group as well. You know, when it gets down to it, if you look at the history of sports and spectators, National Hockey League is instructive. In the 1940s, they used chicken wire around their games.
Right.
And, you know, there was limited protection. Then they reached a point where they had plexiglass, and then after a spectator in Columbus was killed about 15 years ago, they ended up extending netting beyond that. So, you know, the bottom line is the safety of the spectator should be number one. God forbid someone is killed with a line drive foul at a Major League Baseball park. The conversation will change overnight if that happens. But terrible things happen. 1,800 fans are injured each year. Some
is that
seriously.
Right?
And this is unacceptable. The most expensive seats in baseball years ago and still to this day are behind the net. Who complains? Like nobody. You know, and the fact is they've done it, as you mentioned, in Japan. We should do it here.
Texter writes, I was at a game last week that the previous year did not have a net in front of us. We watched a game through the net, barely noticed a difference.
Well, of course, and you know, let's have a contest. Let's find out who can have the most translucent, whatever the word is, netting. Is it going to be the black net we see today, or is it going to be something even better? We're pretty ingenious people. I think we can come up with something.
Well, and again, the Japanese, who are baseball crazy, have been doing full park netting for years. It has to happen. And the thing I'm confused about, Senator Durbin, is why the teams haven't jumped on this before now, because the various settlements they've had to pay out, even though most clubs will say, hey, look at the back of your ticket. You agree to a risk and you agree to hold us harmless, but we know they're paying some settlements out when people get hurt. And the idea, we've also heard people say, well, don't take your kids to the game if you're going to sit in foul ball areas. It's a ridiculous notion.
That's crazy. And as Gumbel pointed, made clear in his Real Sports segment there, even if you are forewarned that a ball is coming to you, there is absolutely no reaction time for the average person, let alone a ball player in a similar circumstance, to put a hand up or to catch the ball if you happen to be that skilled. It just doesn't work at 100 miles an hour plus coming right at you. You're a sitting duck, and bad enough that you're a sitting duck, but how about those ducklings that you brought in for their first big baseball game? You don't want them to be taken out by an ambulance.
So the dollar part of this, why aren't teams more likely just to say, yeah, we're in, let's do it?
I don't know the answer to that. You know, it seemed to me to be the obvious thing, and maybe they're just afraid of a backlash. You know, if you go to a fan now that doesn't have a net in front of them and never perceives it as a personal problem and said, how would you like a net? You know what they're going to say. Heck no. You know, leave it the way it is. I want to be able to see those players. But they extended the nets within the last couple of years beyond the dugouts or right near the dugouts, and I didn't hear peep. You know,
right. People
didn't notice. I think, frankly, just do it, and you're going to find out that the fan base is going to accept it as part of going to a baseball game.
And again, good for the White Sox for starting this role. So Major League Baseball said, yes, we want to do it, but it's up to the clubs. That's where they left it?
Yes. They've encouraged it for years, according to the reports I have, and they've left it up to the owners to decide. If enough of them start the momentum toward this, then those that don't run the real risk that an injured spectator, an injured fan, God forbid an injured child, is going to force them into an overnight decision.
Let me shift gears with you a couple things. We went debate crazy in the last 2 weeks, and as I said throughout the morning, I think there's a ridiculous amount of focus on 2020 when there's a lot of other things we ought to be talking about right now. Having said that, there was an abject panic that gripped the Democratic nation last week because Joe Biden had an off night and Kamala Harris Frankly, in my opinion, look, people are going to disagree, but I thought she cheap shotted him. She knows full well that he's not a racist. She stipulated that he's not a racist and then proceeded to point out that he was acting like a racist. And CNN and MSNBC have been running with it now for days. You know Joe Biden.
I do.
What does the public need to know about him? And by the way, this is not to advocate you vote for him, but let's just get the truth on the table. What you had to do in the 70s and people you had to talk to might be different now, but his point is you got to talk to people you don't agree with.
Well, you know, what we saw in the last week with the debating was kind of a speed dating arrangement. We'll give you 5 minutes of national TV time, make an impression, and some did. Some made a very positive impression, others negative. And the exchange between Kamala and Joe Biden got the most attention because he's a front runner. And she was very skilled. I analyzed it later, and I thought to myself, she waited for the first opening. She said, I'm the only African-American on the stage. I should have a right to reply. And who's going to dispute that?
Right.
So then she has a flat-out 60 seconds, and she says, I know you're not a racist. I know you're trying to find ways to work toward common good and agreement, but here's something you did that hurt me personally. It goes on to tell a story of being a student who was bused to school at a time when he was in a very heated national debate, took the position there shouldn't be a national busing policy. It ought to be local. Well, that, you know, that is a good debate topic, but here's the bottom line, Steve, that you're pointing toward, and I want to just say flat out, I've known this man for a long, long time. Joe Biden is the most caring person that I've ever met in public life, and I say that advisedly because I know some real kind and caring people in both political parties, but he is the most caring person, and to say otherwise is just not true. Secondly, he came to the United States Senate and bragged about for years because of civil rights. Delaware, you think of as a northern state, one of the last lynchings in America was in the state of Delaware. The southern end of Delaware is the South, and he took on that issue in Delaware and won as the youngest elected to the Senate maybe ever, and deserves credit for it. Over the years, he got embroiled in this debate on busing, which was as divisive then as immigration is now, and he took what he considered to be a principled, reasonable view. I'm not going to question it. I wasn't around to be part of that debate. When it comes to sitting down with people across the table who you wouldn't buy a cup of coffee with or invite over to your home, I do it every day, because I realize that if we're going to get anything done, we've got to have people with dramatically different points of view who are willing to try to find some common ground. That's part of life, and it's certainly part of politics.
I just don't understand, and this is the old man part of the conversation. Please join in, and I'll pour you some Country Time lemonade. You see this all the time with somebody who sent out tweets 10 years ago, or there was something on social media, or even on an email 20 years ago. We're talking about 40 to 50 years ago. Kamala Harris is entitled to her position as a black woman and how she feels about race relations today. It doesn't apply to the world that existed in 1975, 6, 4, 3, 2, whatever it was. You can't have that sort of fake equality.
It's a fact. What you said reflects the human experience. If you don't, I happen to belong to a religion which buys into this first and foremost. I believe in redemption. I think personally, politically, people can change for the better. And I hope that I'm counted in that category because I've sure made my mistakes in the past. But the point is, you know, if you don't believe in that and you just want to absolutely dismiss a person forever and ever, amen, because of something said or done many, many years ago, it's a heck of a standard to be forced to live by yourself. You know, to be more open to redemption, in my mind, is to accept the human condition. We all make mistakes.
By the way, in case anybody missed the memo, the only black president in American history picked him twice.
He did, and I had a meeting with Barack, an informal, personal meeting last week. We talked about a lot of things and talked about Joe, and he still stands by that decision as the right one and the best one for the country, and they developed a close personal relationship during the course of those 8 years.
I'll let you go on this unless you have something else you want to add in, but I was really troubled, angry, big surprise, when I saw Donald Trump, the President of the United States, step into North Korea let alone all the glad handing he did for the dictators in his big dictator 5-day getaway. It's a big deal that we have the first American president stepping into North Korea, and it's not a big deal because something positive has happened because of it. We have no reason to trust this guy. I'm talking about Kim Jong-un, and nothing has changed since he did that. If I'm wrong, tell me.
Well, someone observed, and I read with all the stuff that passes by me during the course of a day, that the president of the United States left the United States, a country that people can't wait to get into, to visit the dictator North Korea, in a country which people can't wait to get out of, and took this little jaunt for 10 or 20 steps, whatever it was, into Northern Korea across the DMZ. You know, bottom line, I'm glad they're talking. It's better than shooting at one another. In reality, nothing has happened here. It was a photo opportunity. We haven't seen any progress, none, in the last 2.5 years when it comes to North Korea, other than this conversation. But it doesn't, in and of itself, you know, show great progress toward our goal of denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula. So I just leave it at that. It was a photo op and nothing more.
All right, and enjoy your day. Thank you for the information. I always appreciate the access. You know that. And I hope we can see you in studio sometime soon. And
please, please, have a nice 4th of July.
You as well. And please tell Bernie Sanders to stop yelling at us.
Bernie never changes.
All the best. Thank you, Senator.
See you. Bye-bye.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. What's your story? Sick as a
dog. Michael Heidemann, we need to disinfect this studio before Wendy and Bill come in here. Dave, I'm sure I've exposed you to this summer cold today, so feel free to take the rest of the month off.
Yeah, I'm going to work through it, Steve.
No. Bill, come on in. I'll give you a hug.
He's coming in very slowly.
Get the Clorox wipes.
I want to remind you, there's still time to get your... A Big Bad John, USS John S. McCain shirts to benefit Vote Vets in Rags of Honor. The T-shirts feature the Navy destroyer with its nickname Big Bad John. The White House asked to have that ship moved out of the way during Trump's visit to Japan. Literally thousands of these shirts are going to be handed out on the mall in Washington. And you can get yours and help support vets who are homeless and vets who need work. And do it just by going to ragsofhonor.us, ragsofhonor.org, votevets.org. All of those are great places to help. We'll come back with Bill and Wendy in just a second. First, I'm going to disinfect everything. And the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, that's where Steve will be in a moment. Bill, earlier today when I said, look, and it's probably the only time I brought it up, that I have this summer cold that kicked in last night.
Yeah.
Dave, did I bring it up more than once today?
Not that I can recall. Yeah, I this is first time hearing of it.
And I said, it's up to the listeners. I said, look, it's on you.
Right.
You want this show to continue? You've got to provide the content. And they threw out some questions on Facebook and other places, and this one's perfect for you. If Racer X was really Speed Racer's older brother, Rex Racer, who ran from home, why did he never tell Speed, and did he really hate Pops that much?
Those are solid questions. I mean, they are.
Okay, so those are more big picture, thought-provoking discussion questions?
They never went into detail about why Racer X left as a child.
And I thought his name was Razor X.
No, Racer X, not Razor X.
I always thought it was Razor X. I don't know why.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he left home. Yeah. Maybe there was so much confusion.
So I've stumped you.
Well...
more opinion questions, they're theories.
It's a lot of theories.
It was too long. I checked out. That question was too long.
You're just bitter because I'm sick. by the way, I got to disinfect again because everything I just disinfected, I touched
again. I know. I'll just do it.
No, it's too late.
Leave the wipes there.
Steve, you know how usually when we switch over from your show to our show, you lick the keyboard? Could you not do that today? Just for one day.
I just want you two to know that when you guys are sick, I talk about you behind your back, not your face.
That's fine.
Yeah. What are you doing today?
It's all right. Tony Fulmer, one of our most popular guests, will be in to talk about summer planting.
Gardening. It's gardening. Fun. Try it.
Did you hear the discussion earlier about the garden igloo?
No. What is the garden igloo?
$1,000. and it's a clear see-through. Well, how big did I say it was, Dave? 15 feet?
15 by 15.
15 by 15 circular igloo. Yeah. Clear.
What do you do with it?
You live in it, sleep in it.
Oh. Why?
Well, because you don't want to be, you know, around the bugs and things.
It's like a tent. Yeah. Oh. Oh, but it's an igloo.
We can run it past Tony. We'll run it past Tony Fulmer.
I don't like
He's
it.
An expert.
See what he thinks.
He might like
be
it.
A nice little greenhouse. That yeah. would work.
Maybe you could do the show in one tomorrow in the studio.
At this point, I'm not coming in ever again.
You're the boy in the plastic igloo.
I was going to say, wasn't that a John Travolta movie?
Yeah, that was the idea.
That was a great movie.
Where are you going on vacation?
Oh, I'm not going for a while, but we're going to go to California.
Oh, good.
And I don't want to be sick, so stay away.
No, stop. Stop.
What stop?
Stop.
That was your whole show today. Stop. Come on.
I don't talk about it, so why do you have to talk about it? See you tomorrow.